Testament tabernacle was a shadow or a type of the New Testament tabernacle. That we will not have that lesson today doesn't mean we will not have a lesson. Today we look on the subject, learning to trust God's love, care, and wisdom. Learning to trust God's care, God's love, and God's wisdom. The word that is translated faith and belief in the New Testament carries the characteristic of the Old Testament word that is translated trust, T-R-U-S-T. The word translated trust throughout the Old Testament, in fact, it occurs some 152 times throughout the Old Testament and is variously translated one to take, in fact, I was going to just skip over these passages, but let us look at some of the places, probably three or four places that they are used, that is used in the Old Testament. For one, the word that we see translated trust in the Old Testament. One, it is used in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 12. And there it literally means to take refuge. Let us hear it quick, brother. Ruth 2:12. Another brother turned to Psalms 56 and verse 3. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. That's right.
The Lord recompense thy work. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Under whose wing, the word trust here is translated also refuge. Look at the same word in the book of Psalms 56:3. And somebody turn to Psalms 22:8 in the meantime. Let us hear it.
What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
At what time I am afraid, I will lean on thee. That's the concept of the word trust here in Psalms 56:3. Look at the same word in Psalms 22:8.
He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.
He trusted on the Lord. Here in Psalms 22:8, it means to roll on. That means as a person travels from one place to the other, or as a person goes on through life, you are going on, rolling on God. That's the idea in the word trust here. Look at the word in Job. 35:14. Here it means to stay up on.
Although thou sayest, thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore, trust thou in him.
Stay upon God. So here, in the New Testament, the word is translated belief and faith. In the Old Testament, it is translated trust. But as I said, it means, in the Old Testament, to take refuge. It means to lean upon. It means to roll on. It means to stay up on. But notice this. Trusting the Almighty God genuinely is something we learn as we grow and remain faithful. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Trusting God does not come soft. Trusting God genuinely is something we learn. How do we learn this? As you and I progress through life. Are we there? As we grow spiritually and remain faithful, here is what happens. When we grow spiritually and remain faithful, day by day, we come to know God better. We come to understand God better and thereby learn to trust in God. Did you know that children, it is as we grow, we get to know our parents and learn to trust or not to trust them? That's right. That's a fact. As we grow, when we were born, something were instinctive. But trusting is something children, and we all go through that. As we get to know our mother and father, sometimes we learn to trust one above the other. Because sometimes one proves more dependable, more trustworthy. Is that right? Well, same way with God as we. Wait, let me back up. We never have genuine reason not to trust God. Never. Unless we are misinformed. But the fact is, it is as we remain faithful and grow day by day through His Word, we get to know Him. We learn to trust Him. As we are going to look at some cases, in fact, Job 13:15 is a good case. Let us hear that passage. Job 13:15.
Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him.
Did you all hear that? Even though God seems to be doing me some things that I would rather they be not done to me, I am still going to trust him. Wait, this type of trust doesn't come soft. That when you are going through hell, dear Ed, and you know that God has the power to deliver you, and it's like day after day, month after month, year after year, God seems to be hiding, and you're still trusting. Yes, when you get to know God, you learn to trust him. In spite of, though he slay me, yet this comes from a man who knew God. That's right. Learning to trust God for the survival of our relationship with God. I said survival of our relationship with the Almighty God through Jesus Christ, we must learn as Christians to trust God's love, to trust God's wisdom, and to trust God's word. We must understand that God's love is not like our love. Our love at times experiences up and down. I'm always fascinated in premarital counseling. Two people planning to get married, and you are pointing out to them some of the things that may come up in their lives as husband and wife, and brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. In so many cases, they are so madly in love. And nothing wrong in madly in love once you are rational. That's right. It's good to be in love. But a lot of times they are so much in love that sometimes what I'm saying, I'll have to stop. Because while I'm there in premarital counseling, they're just looking up on one another. They're just looking. They forget that I'm there. And sometimes I have to stop to get their attention. One of the fascinating and sometimes discouraging things is sometimes within a year or two, you find out that they're not in love again. God's love is not like that. God's love is faithful. And when I say faithful, it is faithful. Which means it is always there. God's love is constant. It does not move up and down. God's love is dependable. Therefore, we must learn to trust God's love. We must learn to trust God's wisdom. We will never be as wise as the Almighty God. And we must learn to trust God's word. When the Bible teaches something that you don't like, don't fight against it. Ask God for strength to accept it. We must learn to trust God's love, God's wisdom, and God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, look here. Life by its very nature comes with challenges. How did you put that, Brother Mitchell? Life, by simply what life is all about for human beings, it comes with its challenges. Wait. While I'm going to probably relate some of the challenges which comes to us as Christians, whether you are a Christian or not, life comes with challenges. Are we there? In one form or the other. Is it Job 14 verse 1? Is it the passage I'm looking for?
Man that is born of a woman.
Man that is born from a woman
is of few days and full of trouble.
Wait, somebody didn't hear that. Huh? Huh? Man! Doesn't that include all of us? That's right. I'm assuming all of us that are here were born of a woman. And Job says, man that is born of a woman, we are a few days. You see, comparatively speaking, even those the people who reach their century in the sight of God, that's a few days. He said, there are a few days we don't live more than a couple years. But he said that 40 years is full of troubles. Huh? That is a fact. And that is apart from the challenges which come with trying to serve God. Listen, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verse 22. Acts 14, 22.
Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Everyone gets that? What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that life by its very nature comes with challenges in one form or the other. It matters not what position or status in life you hold. That is, whatever your status politically, socially, economically, no one goes through life without having to confront and deal with some undesirable and unwelcome things. No one. Unless you're born, grow up, and die as a child. And even the little children have their challenges. Every one of us, because of what life is all about, it comes with its undesirables. It comes with its unwelcome things. Be these challenges that you have to face and deal with at work. It can be your work environment that is so stressful. It can be an unreasonable supervisor or boss. It can be another co-worker. It can also be you. That's right. Hopefully I'll remember to point out in this lesson. Remember, the lesson is about learning to trust God. And the fact that God will be there for us when we learn to really trust Him. What I plan to also share is there are things that happen to us in life. There are some things we bring on ourselves. Some of them we bring them on ourselves out of ignorance. God is sympathetic toward us when it is like that. There are other things we bring on ourselves not out of ignorance, but because we fail to follow His word. We fail to learn what He's teaching us. In those cases, you do not have God's assistance as readily as those cases where we bring on ourselves out of ignorance. So I was on the point that a lot of times the challenge might be at the workplace. It can be challenged or undesirables which come to us in our home or marriage life. It can be a challenge which comes to us from children. It can be a challenge which comes to us from our neighbor. It can be a challenge which comes to us from financial problems. It can be a challenge which comes to us from unemployment or underemployment. It can be challenges which come to us in the way of our health, where we are confronted with different health issues over which we have no control and we have to deal with them. Brothers and sisters, what are you saying, Brother Mitchell? That life by its very nature comes with challenge. And it matters not what your status is, politically, socially, economically. No one goes through life without having to confront the undesirable and the unwelcome things which come in our life. In many cases, some of them are unexpected. That's right. I've known people have one child that they live for, and suddenly that child is taken away. That's right. I've known people who recently married 3-4 years ago planning their lives. They are genuinely and truly in love. They are truly happy together. And then death comes and takes one away. These are what I call the unexpected in life. But they do come. May I? Who and what you trust in will depend on how you deal with these challenges. That's very important. Who you trust in and what you trust in going to determine how you come out of these challenges. Because they come. They come to each one of us. You know what? For so many of us Christians, we can look back on some of the challenges that we faced in the past, where we thought it was the end of the world. And we can look back on so many of them today and talk about them with laughter. Because the Almighty God has taken us through them, challenging as they were, so we can use our experience with those to help others today. The Almighty God was using those undeservables to mold and make us. Who and what you trust in to strengthen you, to keep you, to guide you, and to give you direction. Those, that trust makes all the difference in the world. Listen to Psalms 73, verse 2. Psalms 73, verse 2. Let us hear it.
But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped.
Y'all get that? Here now, David faced challenges in life. He said his feet was almost gone. What does it mean if it has somebody almost cut it off? David meant here that he almost walked away from God. He almost become a backslider. Now, mind you, David challenge might not be your challenge, because in this David challenge was when he saw how the ungodly prosper and how sometimes their lives seem so smooth. And when he looked on the godly and saw how many challenges they have. Let me hear it again, brother, verse 2. Did I say verse 2?
But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped.
Read on a little more the other verse.
For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
You got that? I didn't intend to read verse 3, but before I step down to verse 13 through 17, I want you to get the background why David almost gave up serving God. This might not be your challenge, and it should not be. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Don't watch how the other person is prospering. That's foolish. A lot of times you do not know what that person goes through to have what they have. So you must never covet. Sometimes if a man or a woman ever tell you the sacrifice they make and the planning and the deprivation, you would look on them and say, I could never do that. Anyway, yes, let me hear verse 13 through 17.
Verily I have cleansed my heart in
Say, truly I cleansed my heart.
And washed my hands in innocence.
Washed my hands.
For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me.
Don't move. May I, brothers and sisters, there are some things that we will never understand without the assistance of the Almighty God. Now, that's very important. It matters not how many PhDs we achieve in higher institution of learning. There are some things, they come only through God's help. Amen. David said that there's something he tried to understand and he couldn't. Read on.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Where?
Into the sanctuary of God.
Where?
Into the sanctuary of God.
There are some things you will never understand until you come in a proper relationship with God. Until you get in the body, which is the church of Christ. Did he say sanctuary? I think that's what he said. That usually refers either to the tabernacle of the Old Testament or the temple. That's right. Remember the Old Testament tabernacle which represents the church. The Almighty God said, there will I meet with you. There will I talk with you. David says, it's not until I get there that I understand certain things. What verse is that, brother?
Then understood I their end. That's 17.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I? We must grow and mature spiritually so that our trust is not in the wrong person or the wrong thing. Remember, I told you that the different challenges which comes our way in life, and it comes the way of every man and every woman. That's right. Once, whether you're a Christian or not, it comes your way. Well, somebody in the audience says, Mr. Mitchell, well, what makes the difference then? Whether you're a Christian or not, the challenges of life, the undesirables of life, the unwelcome things of life come our way. What's the difference? The Christian has God to help them go through it.
Amen. Amen.
And that makes all the difference.
Right. Right.
You don't find a good Christian committing suicide. Did you hear me? Ungodly men and women doing that daily. So the difference is that the child of God, in fact, let me continue. That our trust be not in the wrong person or the wrong thing. Look at Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 3. Psalms 20 and verse 7. Psalms 44 and verse 6. Psalms 49 and verse 5 through verse 10. Let us hear it, brother. Quick. Isaiah 33, Psalms 27, Psalms 44, verse 6. Let us hear it.
Isaiah 30, verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion.
May I? Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't remember, and Brother Dave, Fisher, and Fabian, I don't remember if it's when we were doing the radio program Thursday night or somewhere else that there was a little discussion over if Trump Donald Trump ever win the election and become the president of the United States, the person was saying many Jamaicans would have to run back to Jamaica. What is the point? Be careful, country. Let me hear it again, brother.
Therefore, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt.
You see,
your
Egypt
confusion.
Was such a powerful place in the ancient world that those who were citizens in Egypt felt that there was no nation that could affect Egypt negatively. They trust in the country from which they were. It was military powerful and it was economically powerful. But even then, the Bible says, be careful. Look at Psalms 20 and verse 7. And Father 4, 6. Let us hear it.
Some trust in chariots.
Some trust in chariots.
And some in horses.
Brother Blake. You ever heard about the Titanic, brother? Yes. That was their chariot. It was unsinkable. Man cannot build anything that guarantee against nature.
Amen.
Or against God. Bible says some trust in chariot.
And some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Thank God for that. Make sure our trust is not in the wrong person or the wrong thing. Father 4 verse 6.
For I will put my trust in my bow. I will not put my trust in my bow.
Wait. Me sleep with my gun under my pillow so no thief can hurt me. If you feel you have to have your gun, a legal one, you know, but be careful how you trust in it.
Yeah.
Please. Because a lot of times the criminal, just the fact that you have it, is trying to think how he can get it. And in so many cases, if he thinks killing you is the best way to get it, he'll do that. What he said here, trust in sword?
For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me.
What are we on? We must be careful that our trust is not in the wrong person or the wrong place. Did I say Psalms 49, verse 5 through 10?
Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches.
Stop there. Brothers and sisters, those that trust in their wealth, if the Almighty God blessed us with material things, it's very important that we learn, one, give God thanks, but don't trust in it. Wait, this is important, you know. This is important, you know why? Because a lot of time, the trust that should have been in God, it's taken from God and put in that. And sometimes, for that very reason, the Almighty God will cause this to fail. So I'm saying to you, if God bless you with material things, give God thanks for it. Use it wisely. But don't let it become your trust. God's love, God's care, and God's wisdom, as I said, is faithful, consistent, and it is dependable. Money is not. Let us run down a few cases here before we finish this lesson. I hope I will be brief. In Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14. Quick, read that for me, brother. Genesis 18, 9 through 14. Quick.
And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife?
The angel visit Abraham on their way down to Sodom and Gomorrah, where sexual abnormality was the way of the day. The Almighty God is about to destroy those cities because the immorality had reached beyond God's tolerance. Read, brother.
And he said, Behold, in the tent.
The angel asked for Abram's wife, Sarah. Read.
And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son.
I just step here in passing to say to us that in these few words, those few words you have just read, Brother Webb, the last part.
And he said, I will certainly return unto thee.
I will certainly return unto thee.
According to the time of life.
Uh-huh.
And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son.
Here are two elderly people well beyond their 90 years. The Almighty God is giving Abraham and Sarah reassurance. In effect, showing them and telling them that God's love, God's wisdom, and God's power is going to lift them above human biological limitations. They needed this assurance at this time. Abraham and Sarah needed to trust in God's word and God's wisdom and God's love. And at least Abraham did. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, the Almighty God is giving Moses assurance. Quick, brother, quick. Verse 1 through 4.
And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me.
Exodus 4.
Yes.
1.
Yes.
Verse 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm. Nor hearken unto my voice, mm-hmm. for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod.
You notice what I notice? The Almighty God sending Moses on a mission. May I? But Moses suffered from personal fear. Moses' faith was weak at this time because he did not know God. The Almighty God is giving Moses assurance now. Notice what God did. The Almighty God in verse 2 said, What is it in thy hand?
And he said, A rod.
Moses said, A rod. That is a piece of stick that the man used to help get him over the rock. God said.
And he said, Cast it on the
cast
ground.
Cast it on the ground.
And he cast it on the ground.
And he cast a piece of dry stick on the ground.
And it became a serpent.
And it became a serpent. Ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God was showing Moses that I can use anything to accomplish my purpose. God can still do that for us today. The Almighty God used this assurance to lift Moses above and beyond his personal, subjective fear and weak faith. Because when he threw the piece of dry stick on the ground and see it became a living snake, Moses get to know God better. and to understand the God with whom he is dealing. Remember one of the points I emphasized in this lesson. Remain faithful with the Almighty God so that you will get to know God better, understand Him better, and learn to trust Him more. In the book of 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 through 15. Quick, brother, quick. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 15. Paul
and
recall and recorded how the Almighty God's great love and mercy and power. Let me hear the passage.
And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord.
I thank Christ Jesus our Lord.
Who hath enabled me.
Who have done what?
Enabled me.
Everybody get that? Everybody get that? God can still enable us today. And God today is still enabling His people.
Mm-hmm.
Listen him here. I thank God through Jesus Christ,
our
who
Lord,
has
who hath enabled me.
Enabled me.
For that He counted me faithful.
For that He counted me faithful.
Putting me into the ministry.
Brothers and sisters, get this now. We're wrapping up. Get this. It is a great privilege for us to be associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's right. When you get a chance to share God's truth with a man or a woman, it is a privilege. Use it well. Paul is giving the Almighty God thanks that God called him to the ministry. But watch here.
Who was before a blasphemer.
He said, before I was called because of God's mercy and grace, I was a blasphemer.
And a persecutor.
I was a persecutor.
And injurious.
I was an injurious person.
But I obtained mercy.
That is the key. I obtain mercy.
Because I did it ignorantly.
I did it. Ignorantly.
In unbelief.
In unbelief. Remember, I pointed out that whatever the challenge which comes our way, the Almighty God will help us. Is it a promotion at work that you felt you should have gotten, but someone else got it? Don't shed tears for many days over that. It could be that God has something better in store for you. But it could also be that because of attitude or conduct at the workplace, management wisely see that you are not the best person for that position. Now, you can pray and fast for the next 100 years and God will not assist you to get that position. Because, you see, God will put up with slackness, you know. That's right. And you see, a lot of times we cannot see where we have gone wrong. We are always blaming management or blaming whatever. We must be careful. The first progress we make with God is when we acknowledge our fault, our mistake, our error. You and God can move on from there. But when you fail to see that, whatever gives you trouble today, it will give you trouble tomorrow. Because you have not really repented. You have not seen yourself. Paul saw what he was, and he's giving God thanks for how the Almighty God's love, grace, and mercy made out of his potentiality actuality, made out of what was buried deep in him, the Almighty God brings it up. And I want to close with David. In David, we learn that before we stay with God, are we there? We are closing now. In David, Psalms 27, we learn that the more we stay with God, the more we see the working of God, the more we understand God, the more we have what to rest our faith on. Look here on David. Look at verse 1.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The brother is reading Psalms 27. Verse 1. Let us hear it.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Wait, David, in this verse, is telling us that he learned to trust God for here and now. That's right. Read it again.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my life and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
I am going to fear no one because of what God is to me now. Verse 2.
When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat.
Brother Blake, notice the word came.
Yeah, amen.
That's past tense.
Yeah.
David is saying, I learned not only to trust God here and now, I learned to trust Him because of yesterday. Watch here. Read it again.
When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came.
Wait. Take time. Came. David is recalling what happened to him in the past. Because of what happened to him in the past and how God delivered him. I learned to trust God because of what God did yesterday. Verse 3.
The one who should encamp against me.
Wait. Brother Blake, this doesn't happen yet.
Amen.
I learned to trust Him for tomorrow. So in verse 1, I learned to trust God for here and now. In verse 2, Cain is past tense. I learned to trust Him because of what He did for me yesterday. In verse 3, I learned to trust God for tomorrow. My trusting God for tomorrow is dependent on what God did for me yesterday. That's why the more faithful we are, the more we stay with God, is the more the Almighty God help us to know Him, to understand Him, and to see His working. We can meet the challenges of tomorrow knowing that God has taken me through a half a dozen challenges yesterday. Learn to trust God by growing, by remaining faithful, by understanding His word, by yielding to His will. We will stand. We are going to sing a song. If you are here today, remember, you learn to trust God. It doesn't just come so. That you believe in God doesn't necessarily mean that you really learn to trust Him yet. Learning to trust God comes through knowledge of God's will. Understanding the working of God. Why not come today? Come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Come as a result of your belief, acknowledging that you're a sinner. And only that Jesus Christ who went to Calvary for your sin can address your sin problem. Do you believe that? Then you will make a resolution to turn in your life over to Him. True faith, repentance from sin, confessing of Christ's name, submitting yourself to be baptized so that all your sin can come under the influence of the blood of Christ. When the Bible says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, it is in effect saying to us, to alien sinner, God will never deal with your sin through Christ's blood until you are baptized after faith and repentance. Today, you can come and start a life where you will start trusting in God. You need a trust. You need to learn to trust in God so that He can follow you through life, giving you the guidance, the support, the strength to deal with the different challenges which do come with life. Let us stand as we sing. 578. 578. As we sing, Jesus Christ is calling you to faith in Him and repentance from sin.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word,